Hello, and welcome to the media ministry of Living Word Church in Roberts, Illinois. Today, Pastor Douglas Lee shares truth from the Word of God that will inspire and motivate you. We pray that as you listen to this message, your ears will be open to hear and your heart to receive all that God has for you. Join us now as we journey together through God's Word.
As we get ready to look at the Word this morning, I want to encourage you with some things that I believe the Lord speaks to me in a prayer time. You know, some people question, does God really talk to you? Well, I have conversations with Him all the time. And I answer people this way. If you can have a conversation with yourself in your mind, you are qualified to have a conversation with God, okay? I mean, it's a little bit, to me, it's crazier to talk to ourselves than it is to talk to our Creator. But that's just me. That's just kind of how I think. Because to me, it's an everyday part of life is to, you know, give consideration to the Lord. And He loves that so much that He says when we just spend time seeking Him, and Scripture in the New Testament uses a verse that I really love in Acts 17. It talks about seeking the Lord, and it says to anybody who wants to that we begin just feeling our way after Him. We begin reaching out to Him, and it's kind of reminds me of a situation we had recently in Gibson City. The sirens went off and we had a big wind come through, and it sounded like it might be a tornado, and the power was going out, and you know, you're hurrying to grab your phone. I mean, we knew it was coming. There was like a 3-minute warning or something, so you had 3 minutes to get your act together. Well, you know, at 1:30 in the morning, it takes 3 minutes to get my act together, to hop out of bed and, you know, have enough clothes on that if the tornado blows the house away and somebody finds me, that I'm ready for that. So yeah, that was the first thing, is be ready. But by the time we got ready and the lights went out, when there's a total blackout. So I'm used to the lights being off in the house, but the city has lights all around. We have little night lights in the house, and you know, you can if you're vaguely familiar, you can make your way around. But when there's total darkness, you get up and you trust that you put your shoes, at least mine, under the chest of drawers instead of hanging out in my pathway to my bed, because usually the shoes I wear every day, there's like 3 pair under my dresser. Well, I don't have to open the closet or anything. I pull out and stick them on and I go, you know. But what if they're hanging out there in the floor? So when there's darkness, the more I have to kind of adjust. And this scripture's using that kind of an illustration where we have to feel our way after Him, that there's some times that it seems like situations or darkness or just busy life presses in, and you find yourself in a situation where you really want the comfort of familiarity with God. You want to know that He's about your business, but you're having to make your way through the house. Now, the sirens inspired me to move faster than I would have otherwise, because the house sits up in the sky, you know, and then the roof goes. I thought, well, if the wind catches any house, we stick up higher than most, it'd probably. So I'm moving to get down the stairs, and already the ladies are downstairs, and, you know, Lucinda's looking on her phone, and we're navigating to the basement, and the lights go out. Recognize God doesn't set us up for moments of darkness, but life will. And rather than respond foolishly, we want to recognize He's there to lead and guide us through life, to navigate anything. Now, it says that if we want to seek the Lord, we feel after Him and we'll find Him. In other words, He doesn't make it difficult for us to find Him. When we're reaching out to Him, He's reaching out to us immediately. Though He not be far from us in any situation, for in Him we live and move and have our being. That means there's a way to have a relationship with Him, that He is going to help us in every situation. And I believe that. I believe that God's out to help us even when we are not in the optimal atmosphere. Even when life is not conducive, even when things are not convenient, even when darkness seems to be prevailing, even if we did leave all 3 pairs of shoes in the pathway, He'll help us learn to step over them. You know, and some nights I have my phone by the bed with the alarm set, but the days that I don't need to be up at 4 o'clock, I don't do that. And a Tuesday morning, I don't have to be up at 4 o'clock. If it had been Sunday or Monday, I'm up early, but not on Tuesday. So I didn't have the advantage of the nightlight. But I'm able to stick one foot in front of the other and kind of go like this and feel my way through and then recognize here's the chest of drawers, here's the end of the bed, there's the door. By then, my eyes started to adjust just enough that I could book it down that hall to the back steps, which is closest to the basement, and get down and out of there. God will meet us with light that will break the darkness just enough to navigate anything. And I believe that. So if you're dealing with today a moment's trial or problem in your life, He's got you. He's got what you need. And your job is to, that what this literally is saying is when you're feeling like you can't navigate and there's not enough light in your life to make it and you're not feeling inspired, you just reach out and start feeling, God help me. He'll do it every time. Now, Psalm 1 is about the blessing of God in our life. And the Holy Spirit's been speaking to me in prayer time, particularly for anybody serving the Lord, to see increase in God moving in your life, to see His favor, to see His blessing, to be able to count on God to come through for you. You know, our faith is involved, and your faith has to be fed with right thinking. And, you know, I listen to enough news and enough media and enough stuff during the week to get the idea that all the time there's 80% of what's going on out there can fill you with negativity unless you have the charge to withstand some of the negative. Sometimes I listen to news and think that all they're doing is fighting and arguing back and forth. I've had enough of that. I just shut that. Why? It's anxiety provoking. Why, I will choose a side and I will get vocal, and I've just decided, you know, enough of that. I've made my little statement today on politics or on violence or on racism or on whatever. And I step back and say, God, this is all the chaos that's in the world because people don't know enough about You. Help me be a person that is living in a different way, that I can bring hope, that I can bring encouragement, that I can help people recognize You have answers. You know, it's hard for some people to believe that God is alive and viable. If it's hard for people to believe, it's because we're maybe not showing enough of that. So I go, when I perceive something like that and I'm praying, I get in a bargaining situation with the Lord. Did you know that I do that? I bargain with Him on your behalf. Scripture calls that intercession. And it's where I see what God wants to do in His Word. I see how we might be doing without somehow in life. And I say, God, You put me right in the middle between this rock and this hard place. Now, that's what ministry is about. To recognize God's got this and life's got this hard place. And He wants to, in between that, help us navigate to experience His blessing under pressure instead of caving in under pressures. And I choose to believe what I read in the Bible is true. And when I'm sharing with somebody, the most important thing I want to get across first is if they will decide to honor God's word as the authority in their life, He can and will bless them every time they choose to believe what the Scripture says. Now, it's one thing to hear that. It's another thing to remind ourselves and begin to live it. I want to stir up faith in you to see God supernaturally help you and bless you and increase you, because that's His will. His will is to increase you so that we can increase the kingdom of God in the earth. You represent the kingdom. So much so that Scripture says, and Jesus said, the kingdom of God is inside of you. That means if Jesus is living in you, He came in and He brought God's plan for your life. And His plan was full of only good. Anything else is external coming against you. When it's not good, it's not God, and it's from the outside. He made you right on the inside. I like that, because greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. But I've got to let the He that is in me have something to say. And He will motivate how I think. The Holy Spirit changes how I think about things. Now, I want to help you as quick as I can this morning. Today is Pentecost Sunday. What that means in the Christian calendar is this is the day the power of God is to be celebrated, and we're to have a remembrance that Jesus sent the Holy Spirit, and the infilling of the Holy Spirit in Acts 2 that was promised in Joel 2 came, and today is the traditional day that we celebrate Pentecost. And it means God came with his powerful presence to fill us to the point of overflow so that our life could be changed by what's happening on the inside of us. That the Holy Spirit of God, we call him the person of Jesus, Jesus' Spirit living in us, will be so empowered by our desire for him that there will be an overflow of God in our life that results in God's power coming from the inside and changing things on the outside. God's power in you to move the mountain that's coming against you. God's power in you to fill the bedroom at your house that you want a child in. God's power in your life to give you the business or the raise or the situational change or the house or the whatever it is that you need, so long as your desire is recognizing this is part of God's kingdom plan. It isn't my wishful thinking. See, it's a matter of a heart toward God. So nobody can judge you about you living in the kingdom of God or not by the things that you have except for you. Are you surrendered to God enough that you can say everything that belongs to me belongs to him? He's who gave it to me, and I'm a steward of those things. If you are, then you're in a safe place to say things like, God is blessing and increasing me. Some people today say, well, that's the prosperity gospel. No, it's part of the gospel of God. It's part of the Bible. But it's connected to his kingdom. It's connected to our heart being in line with God's heart. So today is about that and how to keep our heart in line with God and what's right to expect from God and how do we set ourselves up to be blessed. There's things we can do right and there's things we can do wrong. When we look at the scripture, it's God's recommendation for us to receive his best. That's what the scripture is. It's a recommended way of living. He says if we choose Jesus as Savior, that's the only way to heaven. When we look to the Bible, we recognize there's all kind of recommendations here. And people are pretty selective. People decide, which ones do I want? What will it produce in my life? If I go to a buffet line, I will, before I order the buffet, I will walk all around, look at everything in there. What is here that I can have? Because I put myself on certain restrictions. I like certain effect on my body when I eat. I mean, if I want to eat something that's a splurge, I want to pick it. I don't want it to be in the fried business of whatever I want it to really like count for something significant. If I'm going to have, it might be a piece of cheesecake or it might be, I don't know, something like that instead of grease on something. That's just how I am. But recognize you have a preference when you come to church of how much you hear you want to apply. Today's message is intended to increase your heart toward God so that you can receive back into your heart from God. If the kingdom of God is in you, everything is in you that God has for you in seed form. But when you recognize that to God, he can water the seed in you. When you stay connected to God, he can prosper that seed growing in you. When you recognize the harvest that's coming is all about him more than it's about you, he can increase the harvest. You see, our connection to what God's doing is important for us to believe in his blessing. I hear people say to me, particularly outside the church, well, God can't bless me because I've not been a good person. I love that challenge. Because I can tell them right on the spot, would you like to become a God good person right now? Would you like to change your ways right now? What? Yeah, it's easy. People love hearing that gospel, but once we've received salvation, we sometimes pull away from the center part of that truth. God's heart toward us is always generous. He always has something better. It's a matter of us believing it and going through the simple choices in life. I'm old enough now that I watch pathways that people are in and choices that they make. And, you know, choices will end up taking us places. Choices are like the steering wheel on your vehicle. I mean, you're going to, by every choice, it's going to affect how life ends up. So when I consider that, I think, man, the more God choices I have, the better life is going to end up. The more I let him into my choices. So I look at what kind of things does God say about choices? And I want to give you some today that I call them general guidelines, general help that you've got to interpret for you. You've got to decide what to do with it, but God's heart toward you is for you to decide if he's your partner in life or he's just somebody you're talking to when you need something. See, a partner knows everything that's going on. I mean, if you've got a partner in business, they generally know the ledger sheet. They generally know what's going on because they're a partner. I believe that that's who the Holy Spirit is. He's God with us. He's our life partner. He's connected to us in everything, and he's trying to help us make better choices for a better result in everything. You see, if God made us to cooperate with him, we're not going to do well without that partnership. The partnership with the Holy Spirit of God is always about God's power coming to connect to God's promise that he already made, so that the results can come. The power to go with the promise. When you decide to line up with God's promise, then you ask him for the power to come. You ask him for the help to come. You ask him for the helper and the comforter and the teacher, the Holy Spirit, to come. And he'll help you, but he has to partner with you in something. And the something has to do with what's in your heart enough to come out of your mouth. Now, this is Psalm 1. We're looking at three verses today, and I guess all total, I've got five verses in today's sermon. Can you believe it? Only five. And we're on the second one. Blessed is the man who seeks the Lord like this. And then he tells us what to do. First, we have to observe and keep God's ways. He has ways he likes things. He has ways that he won't have his mind changed in. And it helps us to find out what those are. So he breaks us down into three things that God wants us to pay attention to if we're going to recognize his blessing. Now, I don't care where you are in life or what's been happening lately. If you make a decision to shift, life will begin to change just on these things alone. Because we're in a covenant. All we have to do is keep our part of the bargain, the easy part, and God's provided the hard part. If we really believe that Jesus is our Lord, then we choose to believe that. So, all right, all I've got to do is I've got to give God room in my life to do things that in a way that he wants them done. Religion has put a lot of rules in there that aren't really in your Bible. But there are things in your Bible that are God's standards. That's what we want to look at. So what's the standard? And the more I keep the standard, the more I get the blessing. Now, this is what he says. Don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. That word walk means don't take a departure. Don't get off course with counsel or advice from people who don't know the Lord. First thing he says is be careful who you take advice from. Now, people like to give. Everybody likes to give advice all the time. I get free advice all the time, much of it not solicited, don't you? I've learned that if it's a godly person, I will give some ear to it. But when I'm just out in everyday life and it's Joe on the street or somebody that obviously doesn't even know Jesus, I am courteous and kind and smile and go on about my business. Say, I won't give the first moment's thought to that mess. Why? Because they have a different Lord. And they mean well, but they don't know that they're coming against God's advice. He's my advisor. He's my first advisor. Now, what does that mean? Don't take a departure. Be careful. The word departure indicates a side journey or being sidetracked. When you're making decisions, even when you're just making simple ones, be careful what the outside influence is. Be careful that it's at least godly. He didn't say we couldn't have advice or advisors. But he said, choose carefully who it is that you let influence you in your decisions. I would advise you to pay attention even to things like commercials on the TV, where they're telling you what you need all the time. Or they're telling you it's the flu season, or it's the this season, or it's the that. I talk back to that TV. So I'm not taking your advice. And I'll usually grab that remote. Why? I kind of still like TV to some degree. And I know I'm not alone in that, because I know when I come to your house, you usually, most everybody has one, I think, or two or three or five or whatever you've got. And some of them are like ginormous. So I know that we all receive that kind of communication into our life. If we're not careful, we passively receive it, and it begins to affect us in passive counsel, or what I would say in business terms, tacit approval. By not saying no to that, you just said, I'll have some of that. Now, this scripture is telling us that's the effect of the world. Now, we can say, oh, I just don't let it get to me. Malarkey. God says that if we're not careful, we'll be taking the counsel of the ungodly. We might not act on it right away, but it will change the way we're thinking. It will change our normal. We should be sensitive enough when the media is coming into our house to recognize what doesn't have any of God in it. And say, nah, I'm not having that. I won't have any of that. You know, life expectancy for men and preachers dropping under 70. I heard that on Christian television. I said, I don't care where you got your information. I'm not having that. You're not my advisor. You're not my counselor. And that day at the gym, I ran a little bit extra just to prove that I was not in that camp. Now, we laugh, but it's easy to make a departure. You don't depart with your feet without thinking first. At least I hope not. You don't depart from a path that you know, at least I don't, without looking at a map or pulling up MapQuest or pulling up navigation or something. If I'm in traffic in a familiar route and it says the bridge on Prospect is going to be closed as of today for construction, you got to navigate around that. Well, that's a big intersection for me when I go to Champaign. Most everybody knows that intersection. Be aware it's being worked on right now, and you need to go around. Now, so before you decide you're going to that part of town to go eat steak after church or whatever, and I like Longhorn if you need a companion or two, but if you're navigating to get over there, and that bridge is closed, doesn't it make sense to pull up navigation before you take the exit and sit in traffic while everybody else is going, ooh? It does. So that's what today is kind of about, is we can change up our navigation by just being sensitive that there's all kind of roadblocks and issues, that there are things happening in life that if we're not careful, we'll get off track just because that's what's happening around us. And we become a victim of what's happening in the world rather than having the intelligence of the Holy Spirit to navigate around it as we get there. That's the kind of favor and wisdom where He speaks to us while we're in motion and moving so that our end is good instead of frustrating. Now, when I read this, I think He can eliminate frustration in my life. I will have some of that. Now, transformation begins in our life by what we choose to mentally take in, what we mentally eat, the way we choose to educate ourselves, and the input that we receive. Be aware that there's all kind of input into your life. Much of it looks passive, but it's not. When I look at what the scripture says, Jesus said in the latter days there would be an increase of knowledge, and there would be all of this information, and we're in the middle of that. Be aware that much of it is designed to move God out of your life so that God can be out of the nation and this can become a one world government that is man's kingdom instead of God's kingdom. Be aware that's going on, and you don't need to get fretful about it. Just do the counterculture thing and say, I'm going to seek the Lord. I'm going to seek the Lord and not get comfortable just navigating along with all the other fish that are going to swim into the wrong net. I'm going to be in the right net. Now, Romans 12:2 says that we are transformed by the renewing of our mind. That means if we want the blessing of God, we've got to consider changing our programming and what that looks like and recognize He's a blesser. He's generous. He's all about that. He is looking for us to believe that he is that. That's the beginning. I hear a lot of preaching about doing everything right, and there's things that we're supposed to do. We'll touch on that today. But you're not going to do right unless you believe right, and you can't believe right unless you fix the input. You know, even when I'm getting ready for a Sunday, I've got to fill my heart with the right input to get up and share with you more about the Lord instead of more about life's frustration. I like to touch on life's frustration enough for you to recognize pastor's a real person. He has to deal with real issues. But that's all I want you to get out of that. Because I want God to get the glory. But I want you to understand it's part of the human experience to deal with the enemy. The enemy is here to steal everything that he can from you that Jesus provided for you. He's out to kill and destroy anything that he can for anybody that continues to live in ignorance. So sometimes we think our Sunday dose of word is enough for the week, when this is saying we just need to constantly be navigating our way by the Lord, talking to him and speaking to him, ministering to him. But what you feed your mind is going to dictate what you become. You can become a walking, talking blessing of God is what I want you to get out of this. You can become the embodiment of God's favor and blessing. When we look at the scripture, what does that look like? It looks like giving glory to God. It looks like acknowledging him. It looks like being able to say out of our mouth, I know what God's going to do. I have confidence in him because I know what the scripture says he will do because this is who he is. And getting a hold of scripture like that. So that's the first thing is we don't want to depart. We don't want side journeys that are due to taking advice from the ungodly. You'll get wrong programming. Now, you can decide what that means in your life and what you need to do about it. The second thing he says is don't stand in the path of sinners. Don't take a firm position in the ways of sinners. I want to talk about this a little bit. We're to reach people outside the church. People who don't know Jesus are caught in the sinner conundrum, okay? They don't know it. They're just living the way people live out there. So this is challenging us to not take a firm position. You don't change your position in life, your position with God, when you're around sinners. You hold fast to who you are, but you do get out among them. You do get out in there. Why? To be the witness. You don't carry religion and a list of rules. You carry the blessing of God and God's generosity. I want you to understand how to always win a person is recognizing God is generous and he's loving. The Holy Spirit is the one that comes personally to convict and convince, and he won't use you to do that. He uses his word to do that. But Pastor, I want to give him the word. Then get a pulpit somewhere. But I would encourage you, be generous in the blessing of God because it's the goodness of God that draws men to salvation. Why? We're in a generous covenant. Now, don't stand, don't take a firm position in the pathway of sinners. That means you don't camp out there. Decide, well, I'm just gonna hang around here till I reach everybody. No, you're in and out with people. Bringing the blessing. You always ought to have a positive to interject. When everybody's talking about everything bad, you got something good to say. When everybody's talking doubt and unbelief, you're speaking words of life and faith. When everybody says, well, the growing season's 30 days shorter this year, you're going to say something like, well, God's going to bless our harvest abundantly, and it's just going to be an unusual year. So you just, rather than sit there, see, when we sit there and don't bring out the God, we have accepted the down. We've accepted that's camping out in the way. See, when you're in the way of people who don't know the Lord, you interject some light in the dark room. You might remove the pairs of shoes out of the way. You're making a way for people to navigate and begin to understand why the you're going to cause them to want to feel after God. What? He loves me? He wants to bless me? He's not going to send me to hell for my habit? I love telling people God doesn't send people to hell for their habits. It's liberating. People then say, well, what does make a person go to hell then? Because you pique their interest. And you bring light. Not accepting Jesus as your Savior. That's what sends men to hell. Really? It's that easy? Yeah, that's why God says he's offended when we don't accept Jesus as Savior. That's the one reason we'll go to hell. That's liberating. Why? He made it so easy. Now, so we don't stand or take a firm position. We don't adopt their ways. God has ways. His ways are, we go to church. Oh my gosh, you'd think that that was a big thing. No. Just to get to church, that's his way. He said so. He said that his way is to accept Jesus as Savior, to recognize that we're not going to be any good without him, that everybody needs him. His way is that if we want the power of God, we need to ask for the person of God, the person of the Holy Spirit. That's his way. His way is for us to receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit with a language that's evidence in speaking in other tongues, and that's evidence of power building up. That's evidence of the charge taking in your battery. That's evidence that when you go to crank the mower, it's going to start. When you get ready in a situation and you need to be able to do the work of the day, you need to somehow see God manifest in your life and it actually to work out, there's going to be power there to support what you've been saying. That's who the person of God, the Holy Spirit, is. I love it that he didn't say the Holy Spirit's coming and he's the judgment of God always with you. He's going to be the condemnation factor. He's none of that. He's the power of God unto salvation. That means to keep being saved from whatever we need to be saved from and get saved to the blessing of God. See, this is a gospel I want to expand in your thinking. God can't wait to do the next three good things for you. But he has to. See, we don't wait on God like we think. He waits on us to believe. Now, we talked about that programming, and we've talked about a positioning now of where we ought to stand. The third one is don't sit in the seat, and that means the assembly. Don't come into a group of the scornful or mockers. Don't assemble with mockers. There are a few places I won't go. If I'm in a place and the general tenor of that place is mocking the things of God, I exit. Why? He tells me to. He tells me that if I don't, I am playing with the blessing. It will change the nature of me being able to receive the blessing of God in my life. Now, what does that mean? I don't mean the lost. There are a lot of lost folks that have some respect for God. I like those folks. Why? They have a little bit of an understanding. You talk about the Bible, they think Holy Bible, Grandma's Bible on the kitchen table, and how they Grandma would open. They think things like that, and it's important to them. That's a beginning. That is the beginning of the fear of God that works on us to choose more of him. Here he's talking about getting together with the people who openly mock God. I've had it in my life many times where people say, I'd like to debate your position, Pastor. And I listen to them a little bit. If they want to talk about a verse, I'll do that. If they're wanting to talk about a truth and they see it differently, I'm willing to talk about that. But if they mock my Jesus, I'm out. Why? He says it will mess with the blessing. And why? We're not supposed to engage that kind of mockery. That's different than being lost. Why? He talks about there being a bitterness that gets in people. There's another situation. Sometimes people pull away from God and they're bitter and they won't get over. They won't accept responsibility for why they left the things of God. Scripture calls it a root of bitterness. When people have that and they won't step back from that and change, that's mocking the power of God. When somebody says to you, well, I just, you know, God let me down, and they're hung up on that, they need to get the bitter root removed because the bitter root has a curse. And that action and activity is something we're not to be associated with. Somebody says, well, I just don't need to do fellowship with God. I'd ask them why. What happened to you that you're bitter against God? Because that's what it always means. And then you can pray and get the bitter root out if they want it out. Now, people who don't mock God can be won into the kingdom. I'm trying to, as I share in the coming weeks, help expand your thinking and how to see people that are outside the church. They're waiting to hear something good. They're waiting to be loved on, and people respond differently. Sometimes I see people and they ask a question and they want to know something. Other times there's too many people around and they don't even want to make an association with the preacher because they were in the tavern the night before or whatever. And they somehow think that it will be different if I find out where they were last night. God wants us to be a lover of all people all the time. And let him deal with the life change. I will say it, I guess. Drinking didn't send people to hell. The devil does. Okay? We'll talk more about that another day. We're to be captivated by God's word. See, when we touch a religious thing, there's a phrase preachers live, tipping over the sacred cows. That's one. How many people become open to the Lord when they hear that they won't go to hell for their habits? They'll go to hell for not knowing Jesus. It's pretty acceptable to most folks. Verse 2, do put your delight, your desire, and your longing in the law of the Lord, desire and longing. And meditate. Now that word is a big, powerful word. Meditate in God's word day and night. Really, Pastor? Yeah, that's what delight means. Is that we're preoccupied. Here's some of what that word meditate means. There's probably, I don't know, 20 synonyms, 20 applications, but I wrote down 6 that I use regularly. Utter. Talk in God's word. I do that. That's what preachers do. Groan God's word. That's what preachers do when they're uncomfortable or aggravated or concerned. Or that's what people do when they're aggravated. Did you know the Holy Spirit empowers that kind of praying, is what Scripture says. He'll groan some things out. To growl. I don't know if I've done a whole lot of growling, but there must be a reason to growl. Maybe when the dog growls, you growl back and he'll run from you. I don't know. But growling. Then simply speaking, just talking it. Roaring out God's word. I have done that. When the enemy's trying to take somebody's life, I won't have it. I get very animated. Why? That's part of my responsibility and my desire. My desire is to see everybody that comes to church here live to a ripe old age, walking and talking and serving Jesus, because I believe that's his will, to be blessed, to be happy. Then the sixth one, and this is my favorite actually, to imagine. So I'm preaching about the blessing of God. I want you to imagine what that can be like. Imagine that everybody wants to be around you. Imagine that God is the reason they want to be around you. Imagine that God's healing power is so at work in your life that people call you when they're sick and they want you to pray for them. Imagine the blessing of God being rich enough in your life that people can perceive it and they recognize you can help them grow in their connection with God. Imagine that you're the person that has the right kind of answers to the world's problems. Imagine that when you go out in public, you are a person sought out rather than having to stretch yourself to witness. Somebody's going to come to you and ask you something. Imagine that the blessing of God is causing you to pray in something more divine in your future. Imagine that the blessing of God is going to give you your own business instead of you working for somebody else the rest of your life. Imagine that the blessing of God is going to cause all of your kids to make adjustments in their decisions so that in school they begin to excel more than they ever have before. Imagine that when your kids come home, you always have 10 minutes to share the word of God with them to deprogram some of the mess that they've heard today. Imagine that you do have time to sit at the dinner table and celebrate life together and talk about happy things and good things and make a covenant together as a family. We're not talking any junk at the table, only blessing talk, only good stuff, only pulling out the good. What did God do for you good today? Then we need to pray for you. Well, there ought to be something there quick. See, the something that's there quick is because we've had this meditation. we've had some thinking. And it might come out like this: well, today was nothing significant, but I've been thinking about this all day, and I can imagine when it's going to happen, it's going to feel really good. That's imagining God's word. See, we can sit and watch TV. Good movies do this to me. I like good movies. Okay, and we've stumbled on to kind of we watched one with Spanish subtitles, Made in Spain. You know, it was good. It was a series. Well, okay, I need to like get my language skills back up for travel to Guatemala. So I was watching about one episode in Spanish. I said, "Oh no, we'll let it bring the Spanish down." I switched it over to hear it in English. But a good movie draws you in, and I'm not a big crier, but a really good movie, it can get me. And usually what I do is go like that, and I avoid the tears. Why? Men aren't supposed to cry, right? I mean, that's how I was brought up. When you are walking in the blessing, things will affect you differently. You get around the things of God, it'll move you like a good movie will move emotion. It's supposed to. It's supposed to make that connection. That's what we are to be to the rest of the world. We're to be that connection. When we come into a situation, it's God moving into a situation because he loves the people in the situation. Sometimes we think, oh, God's got to fix the situation. No, he's there to love the people in the situation. And if they'll choose to believe on him, their situation will be righted. What Scripture really teaches about the works of the devil is he throws in the chaos and God brings the calm. The enemy stirs up the pot and God brings the peace. See, sometimes we get caught in the circumstances. God, fix, give me the new job. No, he just wants to remove the chaos by you giving him more place. See, that's what he's up to. So we're to be captivated and begin having a longing for God's word. I'll tell you how I started. I started out struggling with this. I went to Bible school, not eager to study the scriptures. Well, I'd tried. I just couldn't do that very well. You know, part of it was I think I was ADHD growing up, and they didn't diagnose it. I'm guessing that I probably was, because you'd have me sit still more than 10 minutes. I felt like my head was going to explode. Now, today they put you on medication for that. They didn't in those days. Just, you know, mom would say, your father's going to be home, and you'll stay there and finish your homework first, or you'll be without supper, and we believed it. So that was our medication. Do what we're supposed to do anyway. And honestly, I think I overcame much of it just because of the practical application of truth that would come through a dad when he got home, or sometimes mom on the fly with the fly swatter, you know. I was the fly and she had the swatter. And he said, now, we begin to have a longing for God's word by saying out of our mouth, God, you're going to help me understand this. And I would take what somebody else had been preaching or teaching, go home and study it. The reason I give you the notes is I came up on the word that way. I would take what I heard the preacher say and I would go back and study it. I'd sit in class at school and think, you know, maybe everybody else in there understands all this. This boy doesn't understand all of it. So I'm going to go home and I'm going to give myself another pass at the scripture. And I'd open my Bible and where'd they get this and what were they talking about here? And say, well, Pastor, that took a lot of time. Yeah, it changed my ability to assimilate God's word into my life. I had to kind of learn what it would take for me to do it. And I would say that I wasn't on the speedy end of that. There were other things I learned more quickly. If the pastor was more visual in what he was presenting, I would understand it a lot faster than just looking at printed words. But I learned to love God's word by telling myself I would, by speaking to myself that I would. Say, well, that's ridiculous. No, it's reprogramming. I'd been told most of my childhood that I was a different kind of learner, dysfunctional learner. That's not a good thing to be. So I had to become functional. Now, the last thing, verse 3, we're to be committed as God's people. He wants us to observe and keep his ways, not go the way of the world. He wants us to be captivated by his word, but we're to be committed to be his people. We're not his people first. I want you to see that this is a progression. We start to keep his ways. we'll begin to assimilate His Word and get hold of His Word. We get a hold of His ways and His Word, we become His people. It's when we become His people that we recognize more of the blessing. Now, as a result of faithfulness, you will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. That's a place that supplies what you need to grow. You'll be planted. Now, that means there's a constant drawing out of resources. So you can hear me talk today and get nothing out of it if you choose to not be planted. If you choose to be planted, you say, God, I'm getting this in my life. It's high time. And what happens is the taproot starts to go down. And you tap into that river. You tap into the supply of God beyond what you're hearing in pastor's word. Pastor's just got enough today really to inspire you, hopefully, to want to do things God's way. That's what I'm planting seed. It's not a miracle formula. It's seed, and you will choose to plant and acquire and plant any part of it that I say that you decide you want. But I'm telling you that there's a progression, and if you want the blessing of being God's person, you'll get captivated by His Word. But before that, you start doing His ways. God, I'm just going to do this because you say I'm supposed to. I'm just going to love people because you say I'm supposed to. I'm going to be aggressive. Pastor keeps telling us to have relationships outside the church to win people to Jesus. I'm going to give that a shot.
Come on, that's good.
Well, it's what the end times are about. Now, as a result of faithfulness, you'll be like a tree with a place of supply for growth that brings forth its fruit in its season, a fruitful season. Everybody loves the fruitful season. Everybody wants the harvest. Everybody wants the end of the blessing. No, the blessing includes the harvest, but there's a whole lot of stuff before the harvest. There's an interaction. There's a relationship. There's a tending to God's word for that harvest to come. Yet, some of my favorite art is farm scenes in the harvest where you got the apple trees falling down with apples on them and you got the garden with no weeds in it and everything's flourishing and you got the 25 women out there picking in the garden and the men are all out in the field and you wonder, where are the kids? Well, who knows where the kids are? But you see everybody working in the farm scene, probably because the kids are probably in the barn working. I mean, everybody's doing something. There's a process. Harvest, as much as we celebrate, it's a pile of work too. Understand what's on God's heart. There's a pile of work happening, but He wants to empower this process among His people that whatever season we're in, it's going to lead to somewhere along the way. There's going to be a due season and there's going to be a harvest. For a little while this year, it looks skeptical around here, but you know what? There's going to be a harvest. I'm praying that the first frost comes around October 30th. That'd be pretty good. You see, if you're farming, you should say, yes, amen, I agree. Or November sometime would be all right too, Pastor. But I don't know, October 3rd's a traditional date to the 5th. Pastor knows these things. Well, I've been from here a long time. Now, why do I say that? Because there's a fruitful season. But then he talks about the rest of the time, whose leaf also shall not wither. That's all the rest of the time. So I had a bunch of mini dwarf apple trees in one corner of the yard because we have a double lot in town, don't have room for big ones, or I'd have a whole lot more if I had room for it. But I got, 10 or 12 little apple trees in there, and they're this high, well, this high to this high right now, and they've been there for years. Well, they're not supposed to get real high. I don't want to stand on ladders when I'm an old man to pick apples. And I wanted a whole bunch of different kinds. Well, I like that. It's fun for me. We put them out there. There's a fruiting season, but before the fruiting season, there's a dormant season. This winter, I had this winter to watch out for the rabbits to climb up on. They'd get up on the snowdrift and eat the top of my little apple trees off. So I have something that takes care of rabbits, and I won't talk any more about that. But and there are foxes that come to town, and I prayed, Foxy, Foxy, come to town. Eat the rabbit, little and brown. You say, really, Pastor? Yeah, I think things like that. And they didn't get any of my apple trees this year. But then there's a dormant season where you spray a spray on them to protect them from disease that gets on them while the tree's asleep. So I pray that way over people. Lord, when they're not really much in your presence, protect them, keep them. Why, we have some days where we just feel like we're barely sustained. So that's still a season of God when you're feeling like that. He says, the leaf will not wither. So they bloom in the spring. I spray them. 2 weeks later, I spray them again. Next time you come over, we'll probably spray them the third time because it's ready now. Why? I'm keeping the pests away. Why? I'm going to have a harvest, but it isn't harvest season. This is all part of sustaining. This is all part of, it's going to come. There's a due season for that. I marvel at how many people want the harvest season all the time. This life does not work that way. This life works in a cycle where God says, if you want the harvest, you're going to plant, you're going to invest. There's going to be a season of activity where you keep doing the things you're supposed to. You keep feeding your mind the right things. You keep going back to that, meditate the word and keep it in your imagination. As I look at the little trees, if the little tree has more than 100 apples, I have to thin them out. I don't just randomly start popping off apples. If a bug got in one, that one's coming off. Why? I don't want a worm when I eat apple. I'm rather picky about that. So if I'm going to thin the fruit, it makes the rest there big and hefty. If it's going to break down the tree, I got to stake up the tree. See, if you're really in faith, there's activity you do all along the way that says there's going to be a harvest. When all those pink blooms were out there, one of the neighbors said, "What are you doing over there that stinks?" I said, "It's insecticide. If you can smell it, you should go in the house. Don't breathe it." I'm spraying to get rid of any pests. See, there's things that our faith requires if we're going to see the harvest season. So many times people give up. Or they don't do what needs to be tended. If I left that little orchard unattended, I'd get some apples. They wouldn't be good for much. They'd be an aggravation. Have you ever had anybody give you apples? Oh, they're falling like crazy. I'll give you a couple bushels. One side's got a bruise on it. You got to cut that out. If they didn't spray them, the other side might have a bug got in it. You have to cut that out. By the time you cut the seeds out, take the peel off, you got a little bitty apple. And a whole lot of work. What kind of good is that for a fruitful season? And understand, God's looking at us to want to cherish a process of being blessed. Being blessed has a lot of months of activity in it, tending a relationship with God. He says, if we'll do that, we will become the blessed man. Now he says, if you'll be patient through all these seasons, whatever this man does shall prosper. Whatever he does, he's got to be doing something. Understand in your walk with God, it isn't a Sunday come to church thing. That's one of the ways that he requires. But we then take that and make it a part of our life somehow. Today, to what degree you decide to take this word will determine what God can do for you now in blessing. I believe that there's things that he is anticipating that we can receive from him. Understand, he's so generous, he already has the next thing laid out for you. It's already in his hand. He's saying, just let me hear you so I can deliver. Let me hear. Why? He's looking for us to reach out to him because that's evidence of covenant. Every time we talk to him, we're saying, God, I acknowledge you. Every time we do something that pleases him, that's his way, we're saying, I'm doing your way. Every time we hear his word and we believe it, we're saying, I'm doing your word. Every time we come together, we're being his people. Every time we go out into the workplace and we have Jesus in our heart and we're considering, we're being his people. We're going out among the world, and what's supposed to happen is we're supposed to bring blessing to them because there's an overflow in us. Well, I don't have that on my own. That has to be the helper, the Holy Spirit, doing that. And when he's not doing that, don't we get a little tapped out and we just don't have it today? If you've ever had to tell, so I remember occasionally, if I tell a staff member, I just don't have it today, they're like shocked. What do you mean you don't have it? Don't you have times in your life where you need to get back in fellowship with the Lord in a tender way? To have an overflow. See, I understand what prompts the harvest season is we're overflowing in our heart for a sustained period. And what's happening in our lives, all this nourishment from fellowship with God is going out to produce fruit that can bring a harvest. God's in the process of making your life more fruitful and abundant. That's what the Holy Spirit stirred in me to tell you today, for you to choose to what degree. I hear preachers use the word to the next level. I would say to what degree do I want to believe this? Whatever I do, we got to be doing some things. The most dangerous thing you can say to me as a believer in this church is I'm just waiting on God. Because I'll ask you the question, well, what you doing? He isn't going to bless you waiting. He blesses our doing. Do you see that? So sometimes I just step out to do something I think will please him, so I'm doing something. Because I may not know what to do. I don't always know what the Lord wants. What I look for the things that he says that he enjoys, wants me to be doing something. Now, I want to close with James 1:25. Today is about sowing seed, and I'm going to pray over you because there's some things God wants to do to change and enhance the way that you're living. I believe that. It's tied to honoring the Lord. Everything today is tied to honoring the Lord. I have certain expectations in my heart that are tied to honoring the Lord. I know that my faith is strongest when I've been about honoring the Lord. I know that I've got it for others when I've been in prayer before my master. I know that I've got a word in due season when I've been in the word to get the word. There are certain things I know if I do, God's going to bless it. So I make it my aim to do whatever he says the do is so that I can give the do to you. See, that's what God has for all of us, for one another. We were going to call today do the do and throw Mountain Dew out, but we didn't do that. Okay? James 1:25 says this, but whosoever looks, that means anybody can do this. It means you may not know anything about the scripture, and you can do this. Whosoever, even lost people, even people who don't know Jesus yet, looks into the perfect law of liberty. That's your Bible. Notice what he calls it, the perfect law of liberty. That's why I say you love people in whatever state they're in. Don't condemn them for habits or patterns in their life. You love them. You're about liberty. We're a church about liberty. We're a church about freedom and liberty in God. Now, whosoever looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, not being a forgetful hearer, but a doer. A doer of the work. We got to do something with it. This man shall be blessed in his deeds. What are deeds? The things we're doing. So what does God bless? The things we're doing. What does God bless? You know, I hear people say, oh, God blesses everything I touch my hand to. Not unless you're doing. You know, if you're just touching, you know, I can go touch my apple tree, I'll get wormy apples. Or I go out there with spray in my hand and pruners in my hand and a shotgun in my hand and I can get apples. You know, I walk through the process. We live in town, it wasn't a shotgun. I'm sharing something with you, it's just a process of life. I wish it was just, you do these three things and take this pill, God will bless you. He's out for an interactive relationship. And he tells us where the limits are. He tells us to go out and win the world. Don't let the world win you. He tells us to cherish God's word and that it's going to come out in all kinds of situations, all kinds of ways, including the ones I don't know yet how they sound. But all these kinds of applications of God's word. And then love to be with his people. See, as much as I want to get out and win people on the outside, I love coming together with you. See, when it's difficult for us to choose that, we've got a loving God problem. And that's evidence we're not walking in the blessing. The blessing should translate to the bottom line. I just want to get with God's people. Well, a strengthening comes. There's a commonness. Kind of like if you travel overseas and they don't speak much English in that country, you can get by. You can even kind of learn the language and do pretty good. You can get pretty proficient at it. But there's something about coming home when you can be back in your own language and in your own culture. You calm back down. You relax. That's what Sunday church should do for all of you. I want you to stand to your feet. I'm going to pray. We're going to go. This was a sowing seed into your heart kind of Sunday, but I'm going to tell you what I know by the Spirit of God. If you'll just water it a little, it'll spring up and grow. If you'll just talk in your own house about these things a little bit, just bringing God to the center of the home again, watch what he'll do for you. He says it changes the nature of our life. What it does is causes the Holy Spirit who is in you to cause this anointing to come upon you. Where I think of the anointing this way, Tim. In Scripture, it always started out the same way. They poured oil on a guy's head. He's glad I'm not holding oil, but he could manage. You got that good curly hair. It'd stay. But they pour the oil. It'd rub all over him, and anybody he had contact with, it'd get on. That's what happens. When you choose the blessing of God, it's not just going to only get on you. It's who is living in the inside of you says, I give approval. I give authority. I give power. And he begins to work. And you walk in a situation and you really don't have to rebuke the devil. He's rebuked by you because the presence of God is on you. Heavenly Father, anoint our families today, every person in this house. Father, as we go about life, as we go about business, as we go to our homes, as they pack up half the church to go to camp, Father, anoint all that activity today. Father, cause every person here to take some of what they've heard and maybe even all of it, plant it on the inside, because every person here is good soil, representing an abundant harvest potential. Father, help us in whatever season we're in to not give up, but to do the necessary to bring you glory, to bring the harvest that you're really after. You're not just after our little harvest of blessing. You're after the harvest of souls into your kingdom. And that's why you bless us. You connect us to your harvest. So Heavenly Father, I ask in Jesus' name, override the confusion. I rebuke confusion and any work of the enemy. Father, chaos and discord and anything that's gotten into the home because of the culture of the world or just being too busy, I call that out. I call it down in Jesus' name, and we elevate the name of Jesus. Our homes celebrate the Lord Jesus. And Father, thank you for increasing your blessing on every house and every person. Father, that means you're going to change the way we think, because we're feeding our mind differently. In our imagination, we'll see life more like you have it to be for each of us. Father, turn that up. Elevate that kind of thinking, visionary thinking that will partner with you in a greater way. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Amen.
We pray that today you were challenged to move closer to God and encouraged with the depth of His love for you. If you would like to know more or hear additional messages, please call us at 217-395-2231. You can also write to us at Living Word Church, P.O. Box 158, Roberts, Illinois, 60962, or visit our website at gotolwc.org. And as always, we would love to have you join us on Sundays at 10 a.m. And now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May He make His face to shine upon you and give you peace.